All right, last session of the day. I guess I'm between you and beer. It's a dangerous place to be. I was in the morning between you and lunch. So I'm like the fresh meat all the time there. So if you, how many of you were this morning in my talk? Good, a number of you. All right, so this afternoon's talk is more around IIS-based infrastructure as a service versus this morning we discussed a lot SQL Azure on PaaS, on platform as a service. For the people that were not in the morning session of mine, my name is Nicolas Dritsas. I'm a principal program manager with the Windows Azure customer advisory team. As I said, for many years we were the SQL Server customer advisory team. Now we became the Windows Azure customer advisory team. Still the same people, but now instead of red, we are blue. We changed our color. So, same people though. All right, so the session today is how you set up a SQL Server running on a VM on Azure using a infrastructure as a services VM, and how you're setting up high availability for those databases that are running over there. And the options are obviously how you're setting up a high availability between two VMs, how you, or between on-premises database and a VM on Azure, or between two VMs across two distinct data centers. Has anybody worked with IIS VMs at all? Any VMing? A couple of you? A few of you? Okay, don't be shy. It is a new feature. We released it last April. So it still, of course, goes through some V1 fun over there. We're going to have V2 soon. The nice thing with Azure, it allows us to have releases almost every 3 months of every service. Not only new services, but existing services get refreshed on a very regular basis. So saying that, let me go through some of the primary principles on Windows Azure, especially around infrastructure as a service, because it's something quite fairly new on what we're providing. So Windows Azure has some basic principles that it goes after. One is to establish good economics, and it's based on usage optimization. So it tries to charge based on what you use only. At the same time, we try to build enough elements to be automated, so you need additional scale, additional sizing, high availability, all those stuff, GDPR, all this stuff are built in as part of the services. Azure is also very elastic, especially on services such as compute or storage. The system is very elastic. You can very easily add or remove resources based on your needs. For that, recently, actually, we added a feature, we call it AutoScale, where VMs and web roles and worker roles can auto-scale based on some parameters. So you can have a web farm of a total of 10 servers, and based on the CPU utilization across the servers, they can drop down up to 2 or they can go up to 20. You set the parameters there, and the system automatically sizing based on the load of your site. That's a very exciting thing we just released. We're thinking, of course, always the enterprise. Microsoft is, that's another big difference from other cloud vendors. We have a long history with enterprise. So our products running on premises, we have Windows, we have SQL, we have Exchange, SharePoint, all these big servers running there. So our goal has remained how to establish this hybrid connection securely and safely and give you this. So we'll discuss some of that. And part of that is, as our mottos, we want to make sure the cloud is always up and is always on. And talking for always on, that's what we'll discuss later on, how we're bringing in SQL Server always on abilities across VMs or across data centers. So you may have heard all these things by now. We changed the billing. We used to charge per hour, the VMs. Now we're charging per minute. So the moment you stop your VM, you deallocate it, as it's called, the charge starts. When you start it again, the charge the charge stops, then the charge starts again. If you are an MSDN user, you heard that from Scott, you can just use your MSDN account and you get some pretty decent free usage of Azure. So feel free, you should go ahead and try some of this stuff. As far as automation and elasticity, we allow pretty much every service has a PowerShell automation. If we don't, I mean, first we're putting actually PowerShell automation out before even we create UI experiences for our services. You can see some very complicated PowerShell scripts out there we publish, how to set up VM, set up security, join a VPN, join an Active Directory. I mean, you can do pages of PowerScript to set up pretty much a whole data center potentially in Azure. That's a very powerful tool to have. Regarding the way we're managing the always up and always on, we have set up in Azure simple load balancing. We manage that through endpoints. You can have a number of VMs, and each of those VMs has a particular HTTP endpoint. And now we support, you can put those in a load balancer, and those can allow you to create a load balance workload across those VMs. So as far as supporting apps on Windows Azure, we have gone, the idea is we have a library, have an image gallery, we call it actually, where we publish well-tested and approved images of our main products. So we have published already around SharePoint 2013, a number of SQL 2008, as you see, standard, enterprise. So we're starting from SQL 8, R2. We don't have SQL 2005, and I don't think we will have SQL 2005. We have Linux versions. So we have Ubuntu, as you see, OpenSUSE, SLES, and CentOS. With Linux, it's kind of interesting because it's not Microsoft that makes those images and publishes. It's those vendors, those guys, that they actually make those images. They maintain those images, and then we provide them the library and the gallery to publish those two. Okay? So that's how Linux came about. Especially Ubuntu has done a lot of good work with us. It's a very solid Linux VM if you're looking for a good Linux VM. CentOS is, CentOS is the offspring of Red Hat. It's not as supported, though, as Red Hat. Red Hat is not there yet. When they're ready, I'm sure they'll publish it. I mean, the door is open. They're right. I'm sorry? The audio is gone? Can you hear me here? Hello? Not this side? Did I kick something? Maybe I should talk louder there. Hello? Yeah, you can come here. Nothing yet? No? Hold on. The AV. There? I should stay here. Can you hear me? Okay? Okay, good. Woo. So nobody did anything to fix it anyhow, so it was fixed. I think there's some Red Hat outside. All right, so the gallery, how it works in the VMs is like that, guys. Vendors certify and publish images in Azure. Microsoft is considered one of those vendors. We tested and certified Windows and apps images that we published. Linux did the same thing. A number of vendors did that. That, if you follow that logic, soon Oracle is going to certify and publish VMs in the gallery. You remember last June we announced a partnership with Oracle. So Oracle is working to build some images, both on Linux and on Windows, available. Actually, it's going to be Oracle and WebLogic VMs published out there. And others will happen. Now, nothing prevents you, and actually we see that many corporations, you can build also your base VMs and publish them in that gallery. So they are the standard galleries each vendor produces, plus also you can have your corporate galleries, some base galleries of your AD or your file servers or whatever, from where others can create additional VMs and from there build upon. That's how the system works. We also support, just to close that, Beanstalk. We have SQL Server 2014 images out there, previews, same thing with R2, and 2013. So for Microsoft, we kind of using that, that gallery as an opportunity to share with the development community later previews or CTPs of SQL or Visual Studio or things like that. So keep an eye on the gallery every week or every day. Sometimes we adding more galleries there for you to instantiate and load and all that. And it's coming soon, dynamic CRM and some other stuff. So the idea over here is, wow. Apparently, I didn't do that. Marketing guys do magic with PowerPoints. The idea is we worked very hard to make the VMs totally transparent between on-premises and the cloud. So if you have Windows Server 2012 and you use Hyper-V and you build a nice VHD over there, you can sysprep it and copy it on Azure, and that's your VHD. Same way around, you saw maybe in Scott's keynote, you can use a storage manager, a tool, go to the storage in Azure, and you can see your VHD file from your VM you're creating in Azure, download it on your local Windows 2012 server, attach it, here's your VM. So the point is there is full fidelity between the two systems. You can imagine the opportunities here. You can do your dev, test, production, set of VMs and just move them around, move them to the right physical servers as needed. So that's the combination we support quite well. Every time we're creating a VM, the VM itself, the VHD file, it goes to storage. So storage is a very, very important service in Azure. And you see the three green disks over here. As I told you this morning in SQL, we're doing three copies of each database, remember? Same thing with the VM. Every VHD, every file in storage will be triplicated across three separate, as you notice on top, three separate racks and three separate disks within the rack. So it's a triplicate in case the rack has a failure. There is always a high availability of the VHD for you. So this is some nice pictures. If you ever go to a data center, you'll see hundreds of them. You know, there's nothing exciting. People want to go to data centers. And I mean, what do you see there? You see that. Actually, that's the back of what you see in front. So this is a number of physical machines. So we don't use SAN. We don't use anything like that. This is a bunch of blades, and we're using local attached storage across them. And there is the power unit somewhere in the middle. This is the rack switch over there. And here's the triplicate I was telling you, that everything triplicates across. And then we have the concept of availability set. So you may say, okay, I have a virtual machine. How about if this one crashes or reboots or goes down? You know, what happens to that VM? What happened to my availability? Or the disks that they're holding that, they have a problem. You know, disks are keep crashing on me. So there is the concept of availability set. You can take two VMs and put them in an availability set, and we guarantee that each of those VMs is going to land to a different rack. So it's a different physical path and a different upgrade path as well. So it's not only the physical separation, but it's also the cycles of upgrades, because every month or so, we upgrade the base OS. We do Windows update, no? So you don't want both VMs to reboot at the same time when we do that. So by doing availability set, this one is done first, then we fail over here, then we fail back, we upgrade this one. So consider availability set very closely to increase. And this is the only SLA we provide. We provide 99.95% uptime for a VM, but it must be a part of an availability set. Standalone VMs in Azure have no SLA on uptime. So consider that. This is the load balancer I was telling you. The load balancer can spread the load across those two using their endpoints. So what happens is if one of those clusters goes down, then the load balancer simply directs you to the other VM over here. This is pretty cool. I mean, we keep bringing this up because it took us a lot of engineering effort as well. The idea over here is you can stop the VM. You don't destroy the VM, you stop the VM. When you stop the VM, the billing stops. If you note, we also enabled SQL Standard and SQL Enterprise Edition to charge by the minute or by the hour, something like that. But you don't have to. You can bring your enterprise license edition, you know, the keys and all that. There is mobility of the license from on-premises to VMs, but also you can go per hour usage, both standard and enterprise edition. So when you stop the VM, you're charging for SQL as well, stops as well. So I'll go a little faster over here. MSDN, we already said, you know, you can use a bunch of this stuff. I think you got it by now. MSDN is good, use it. No credit card required. Woo. Now, the interesting part also, we added not only the virtual network and the VMs, we added also VPN options to connect securely your VMs to your on-premises site. That's very important because many times you do not want to communicate over a public internet from your own site to Azure. So we have enabled at the bottom, as you see, secure site-to-site network connectivity. And here's what we have. So imagine on-premises, we have your data center on the left, and we have some kind of hardware device. It can be Cisco, can be Jupyter, can be F5, WatchGuard, and we also support Windows 2012 RRAS. So you can set up a box itself that can help be as your VPN device on premises, or you can use some hardware device to do that. And that connects to Azure then, and it creates that secure connection. As you see, we're supporting two modes. We're supporting site-to-site. This is your whole corporation ties to Azure over VPN. That's called site-to-site. Or you can set up what Scott had in his demo, point-to-site, where you can have some system, some laptop, some only few servers, for example, connecting over VPN to Azure. This is called point-to-site. For that point-to-site on your corporation, you don't need any device. Simply your laptop will get some certificates and connect securely to Azure. So this is, in summary, what we're setting up as far as the framework right now. We have the VMs, we're billing per minute, even including SQL Server. VPN is there, and we're going to expand it even more. We have a list of supported devices, as you see at the bottom. We're planning to add even more on that. Or if you don't have a device, because devices can be expensive, Windows 2012 RRAS works quite well. So this is a little framework on IIS and what you expect to see as far as the infrastructure. Any questions on that before I go to SQL DR? Any questions on IIS? No? All good? All right.
Is there a cost for data in and out?
So the question is there a cost for data in and out? So there is cost getting it out. It's free to put it in. Right. So bring it in, leave it there. So there is, yes, that's how it works. And across data centers within the region, the same region, is free. If you go across regions, you pay for that. So if you copy from Singapore to Hong Kong, or when Australia comes up from, let's say, from Sydney to Melbourne, that's free. But if you copy them from Sydney to USA, you have to pay for that. Yep. All right. SQL Server HADR scenario. So the idea over here is I'm spinning up some VMs, and I'll show you in my demo how we do that and how that thing is set up. And you're running SQL Server, you're running something important there. How do you ensure all this data is highly available? You know, same problems you had when you were on premises. You have to guard your databases. You may want asynchronous with automatic failover or asynchronous and all this stuff. But if you have done that on premises, you kind of way ahead of the game over here. But then there are some differences when you go to Azure, because this is Hyper-V. You have to worry for VPN, Active Directory, where all this stuff is, how you set up your cluster, and all these things. So there are three scenarios we're going to discuss today. It's a high availability within Azure. This is two VMs in the same, two or more VMs in the same data center. that you're using for high availability. They're both running SQL Server, the same database, but the idea is if one goes down for some reason, the other one immediately can fail over, take over, and the application continues. Again, this is the same data center, because go across data centers is more tricky. The second one is very appealing. We're getting more and more customer adopting that. They want to do DR between, not HA, DR between on-premise and Azure, right? So you're running your big databases on-premises. You have a replica on-premises as well. Would it be nice to, if you could have another replica up on the cloud as an asynchronous replica over there? As we're saying, your license can be mobile, you can pay per minute, you don't have to buy any other machine. I mean, it's all goodness, it's all there. So this is another scenario, many companies looking for that. This is protecting a lot when the actual on-premise, the actual building where you are, has some major problems. Because then when the replica is on Azure, on the cloud, you can go wherever you like and connect and get your data, right? The third scenario is DR across Azure data centers. So you have, there you're planning for even bigger catastrophes. This is when, you know, the whole Singapore or Hong Kong data center and infrastructure goes away, and you want to secure that in case there are some major issues with the data center. So that's another way to secure your data, and we'll go through that. Okay, so SQL Server high availability within Azure. Why? Why you want to do that? We said we have availability sets, we have triplicates, we have all this stuff, but that safeguards your VHD level. All these high availabilities for the VM, they don't know what you're running in the VM. They don't know you have on the fly transactions, you want two-phase commit. I mean, they don't know all this stuff to guard that. So how about if the SQL Server itself within the VM has a problem? How about if it shuts down or hangs or is it blue screen still? I don't know. Let's say blue screen. Although blue screen in Azure is good. The problem is if you get some gray screen, like in the background, you know, loading. What are you loading? So we have to safeguard for that. The other thing is when a VM restarts, like the pair of the VM, it will take some time. Because I have to wake it up, I have to provision it potentially, establish the IPs and DNS propagation, all this stuff. We're seeing it taking up to 12 minutes to do that. Upgrades is the other big issue as well. Because as I said, on a scheduled basis, we have to upgrade the base OS. So when we upgrade the base OS of a server, all the VMs that are hosted there, they may have to be restarted, right? Because I've heard sometimes when you run Windows Update, Windows may require reboot. Is that true? I don't know, I heard some rumors like that. Right. So we're working very, very diligently, as much as we can, and how our goal is to avoid, minimize, make it down to zero updates, reboots because of updates, right? There is some new versions, exciting, of Windows that they're coming up, and they will come soon to you as well, where the VMs will never need reboot when the base OS gets updated. We may have to do a little freezing of the VM for a couple of seconds so we can clean it up, you know, take over the file of the VM and do something. But it's a freezing versus rebooting or stopping or things like that. So that's something is going to come soon. And as you know by now, we're going to apply, of course, that first in Azure before it's going to come to some Windows 2014 or something like that, right? So you'll see that coming soon. But these are the things you need to plan for. SQL can hang, VM can reboot. You know, how do we guard our data to be always available in our scenarios? So this is how, is in simple terms, the configurations. We have a primary VM that hosts your database in Azure. And then we can do failover pretty much in seconds, depending on the technology we use. So our application stays up and running here. So this goes down, this goes up. You've seen those slides. Yeah, all right, cool. So we're supporting two technologies quite well. One is always on, and the other is mirroring. Now, to support especially always on, Except of the VMs, what else I need to have?
Enterprise Edition.
Enterprise Edition. It sounds you were a little, yes. Who said that? Okay, so I'll give you a gift for that. Remember I told you this morning I'll bring luxurious robes? So I went to my hotel room, and there they are. I have only two. I'm not going to throw it. All right. So clustering. We need clustering, and clustering requires, of course, the other big AD initials. You need Active Directory to set it up, right? So here you are doing your own virtual network on Azure. You don't care. You're creating your VMs. You don't need to talk to your IT, to your infrastructure guys. You're nice, hot, independent over there. Then you need to connect to your, you need to federate your AD. Like, oh, man, I have to talk to my AD guys. They need to open doors and firewalls and VPNs and all this stuff. But here you're doing HA across two VMs in Azure. Remember the scenario. Right? So you have to create cluster, you have to create AD. You do not need yet to federate with your on-premises Active Directory. What I suggest you do, if you like, you have the option, as my demo is, you can create another VM there and create spin-off your own Active Directory. It's very simple. You're creating a Windows 2012 new server, you run DC promo, and then you have your Active Directory, very simple steps, GUI there, you make it a DNS as well. The point is, all these servers we're talking about, they will be running within a virtual private network in Azure. That is one of the first main services you have to create. You're creating a nice container that is a virtual network. It has a range of IPs, it has a password, it has everything. Nobody else in the world in Azure or anywhere can go in there unless they have the credentials to do so. So that's what we're going to do here. You'll see in the demo, we're going to set up a virtual network with its own Active Directory and a DNS. And then we're going to load the SQL servers. They're going to join those domains, that domain. We're going to create a cluster. And then we're going to create always on to keep those in sync very nicely. So as I say over here, with SQL Server 2012, we support always on availability groups in synchronous mode. We can support up to 4 secondaries. And by now, I say by now because it was done a couple of weeks ago only, we support also listener. So if you know always on, listener is the way that allows you to do automatic failover without having to reconfigure your connection string. The reason we were not supporting listener before is because listener needs its own IP address. And in VMs, we would not support more than a single public IP per VM. So we had to do some hot fixing over there to allow listener to have another IP and register properly. So now it's available, and I have actually a link to tell you how to go there. Database mirroring works as fine as well. If you prefer to use database mirroring, especially if you're using still 2008 R2, we fully support mirroring up to high safety mode, and you know, you can set it up like you're setting it up on premises as well. But availability groups and always on is definitely the way to go if you can. We have some additional features that they support much better an HA setup. Especially you have the automatic page repair. When you have a synchronous, especially pair, if there is some failure on the buffer or something on the primary, we can repair it without you knowing by getting the page from the secondary. You can backup from the secondaries. So you don't have to bother your primary at all. That's a very good one to have. And it supports file stream and file table in always on. So it replicates and keeps those synchronously in sync. But as we said, we require a Windows cluster and same Windows domain. So the last one is good because we don't have to worry for subnets anymore. If you remember before, we had to make sure all the clusters were in the same subnet as well, which was a pain in the butt because you couldn't, subnets are typically, and that's why it's a subnet, it's a small area. It's not supposed to be across countries, across continents, a subnet. Now we don't need subnets, we need a domain. But then it becomes the other issue, the domain doesn't spread data centers. So remember before I told you, you can't really do that across data centers nicely. So always on, we don't support it yet across data centers. It's not an always on limitation. It's the limitations of our virtual network in Azure. Virtual network today spans within the data center. Very soon, soon as I said to us, means 2 to 3 months. Yeah, it's pretty wild. In 2 to 3 months, we're shipping products. We have Scott over there every week. So what are we shipping today? So we have to ship stuff. All right. I don't know if you talked to him at all. He's very excited with some new things we're about to release for Active Directory. Did anybody talk to Scott and he told you stories about Active Directory? Huh? No? He did? Yeah. Okay. We need to ship that next week. We're supposed to do single sign-on and all that, you know, give a little more integration between the two Active Directories on-premise and on the cloud. So when we enable across data centers a virtual network, then your always-on will follow that. That's very powerful because you can have always-on replicas in other data centers across the world. For now, it's only one data center. You can do that. I have some slides, some links over here, because this was really the past few days that it was set up together. We do have how to set up the listener. They are especially around ports. You have to open some ports in your firewalls. Here's other cool stuff. You set up those two VMs in the VNet, right? They join your domain. Perfect. You try to talk to each other. Nope. You know how Windows 2012 is, all the ports are shut. You have to go there and open ports. So don't do the thing, open all ports. Yes, all right. Yeah, you can talk to each other. You can start a little more generic, you know, open ports for SQL Server. You can go on an application level, or you can do the 1433 and the 5020, I believe. We start listing, especially in the site, we list 3-4 ports we need to open for you, you need to open on your firewall to communicate on this level, right? There is a patch for Windows 2012 as well in your VM that you have to install to allow that for the cluster. Again, it's because we don't allow multiple public IPs per VM. This patch will allow it. And this month, sometime with the same sites, we're going to release a patch for the 2008 R2 as well. But 2012 is working fine. So when you go there, you'll see this information, and please use it. When you set up high availability on VMs, you need to be careful to put things in a way in the same buckets. So there is a concept in Azure, it's called affinity group. Affinity group is when it's hosted by the same Azure cluster and reduces log synchronization latency. You can put VMs on different affinity groups, but this creates latencies because each affinity group is put in a different section in a data center. By putting it in an affinity group, it's a container that they keep everything together. We're saying same availability set. So you could have your VMs in different availability sets, but we're saying keep it in the same one. If you have 5-6 VMs, create one availability set for all of them so they're managed well in a single availability set so they don't spread across in different scenarios. And same virtual network. You may say, sure, I'll use the same virtual network, but the point is there's not a restriction. You can span your VMs across different virtual networks. We say do it in the same one, and that's a requirement for the Active Directory anyhow, because, again, we don't span across virtual networks or across data centers yet. When we do that, you can do that if you like. So the process would be, actually, I'll show you this stuff, what I've done here to set this up. It didn't take me that long. It took me about a couple hours, I would say, to set it up. And most of that is spinning the VMs to provision them and everything. So the steps is to create the virtual network, create the Active Directory, and then add the VMs over there. There are some gotchas. Again, that duplicate the IP problem. So when you create the cluster, instead of following the cluster setup, we have done a particular PowerShell script for you. Take it. Trust me, it works. You heard that before. This is temporary, again, till we allow multiple public IPs for the same VM, because the cluster name as well need another IP. So you have the listener needing an IP, the cluster name needs an IP, the VM needs an IP. All these guys need unique public IPs, and we don't allow that yet. We will allow it. There are some tutorials here on PowerShell and all that, so you can see that. Database mirroring, yeah, you know that. All right, so let me show you some cool stuff. All right, have you seen that screen? By now, you should have seen it. So this is the manage.windowsazure.com, and it will ask you for your live credentials or your MSDN credentials. This is my subscription. It's called BPDCX01, very imaginative name. And this is all the services that you have access to. And that's where you can go and subscribe and do all these things. So what I have created for mine, to start simple, the very first thing you need to do is create a new virtual network. So as you see over here, I created one. I call it my name, Andritsas Virtual Network TechEd. You can give it a name, it's a container. And then when you create it, you specify a few things. You specify in your configuration what is the DNS name. So you see over here, I have a DNS. And the DNS is the first VM that I'm going to add in, the first VM I added into my virtual network. So when you saw in the dashboard over here, you see my virtual network contains three VMs, the AD, the SQL A, SQL B, and the AD has an IP address .4. So after I created the VMs, I saw their IP addresses, I went back to the configure and I say, okay, let's add a new DNS and call it .4. Be happy we do that, because when we first created that, we missed the sequence. So you have to put the DNS IP first and then create the VMs, but you don't know the IP of the VM, so what do you do? And you couldn't edit it. That was a surreal part. So we found out in a virtual network that always the first VM you create is .4. For some reason, the .1, .2, .3 is reserved for something internal, crazy thing. The first VM will become always .4. But still, don't take my word. When you create the VMs, go in your dashboard, see where you're hosting your AD, and you put that over there. And that's all. And here's my address space. That's fine. It just shows me the range of IPs over here that I have. So after I created that, I created three virtual machines that they are part of that virtual network. If you haven't seen when you create a virtual machine, what happens, let me show you briefly over here. I went to new, virtual machine, and I say from gallery. So the gallery is what I was telling you all this time before. There are three categories of libraries: platform images that Microsoft or other vendors publish, my images, my disks, that's your corporate stuff, right? So I can go to the platform images and see what Microsoft, like Windows or Ubuntu or anybody or BizTalk has published. This is my personal images, which I have only one. And these are my physical disks. The difference of image and a disk is when I destroy a VM, the disk remains. Right? When I stop a VM, that's an image. Right? So see the difference. So I can have a library of disks, and then I can load them later on, make it an image, and make it as a VM out there. Right? So after you choose, let's say in my case, to create the Active Directory, I chose, for example, a Windows. What did I choose? Where is the Windows 2012? Okay, let's assume you're using R2. Actually, I'm using data center. All right, doesn't matter. So you're putting a machine, some machine name, you specify the size, that's where you specify how many cores, how much memory you require, let's say one core and that. That's where you give up the username and password. So if I give, let's say, my name and then some password here, this is the admin password. Pending. What happened to my screen here? All right. Now I went back. Hold on. I just want you to see. It's weird. Sorry? Open and close? Reboot? No, no. Yeah, I haven't seen this message before, so I will cancel that one before it messes up my demo. As you go through that, eventually it's going to ask you which virtual network you want to be. You specify what you have. The point is virtual network, keep thinking that's your network where you're adding stuff. I think my graphics are messed up. You see my next and back. I don't know. They don't look right. All right. So I have those three running, and that's good. They're all part of the same location, as you see. I created an affinity group in Singapore. It's in Southeast Asia. They're part of the same DNS server. Tech at AD, so it's all good. So what I'm going to show you is, when I connect to one of them, what happens? Okay, connect. So this is a traditional RDP connection we're going to do. Oh, man. Lesson learned, don't use the ticket Wi-Fi. Sorry? No, no, this is the direct connection. No internet access. Nice.
Is that the light blue screen?
Sorry?
Is that the light blue screen of death?
Maybe. So anyhow, this one's supposed to open an RDP over here. There it is. The nice thing is when you create a VM as well, you have the, by default, RDPs enabled. Same thing with a remote PowerShell execution. What? Okay. Good thing I tried it like 10 times today. Aha. Connect, goddamn. There. So when you are in your enterprise, you do these things, you know, you pray a little. So what we did now, we did a remote RDP connection to my SQL A server. I could similarly connect, of course, to any other server over here. That is my AD or any of those. So if you walk through a little my setup over here, I have SQL A and SQL B. I have already set up always on. So if I go to my always on and I see my dashboard, it's down. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this is not going to happen today. But my previous demo, which I did a little before, the idea is I wanted to show you that you can insert records and do that. I don't know, something happens to my connection over here, guys. I'm going to move on because the time is precious here. It's trying to resolve the role and whatever is happening over here. But these are the steps I wanted at least to show you when you set up this one from the... from Azure side, you have to set up your virtual network down here. And then within the virtual network, you create up to three VMs. And each one of those, one VM will be your Active Directory. The other will be your SQL A and SQL B. When you run that script I showed you before, the one that sets up the cluster, that gallery server, please set up the cluster doing that. When you do that, if you set up always on before, you can go to the SQL Server service, use that cluster name, and then your always on is in place and working just fine. Okay? Sorry for that hiccup. Let's move on to the next one. So how we set up So you see, from on-premises to Azure, we're calling it DR. I'm not calling it high availability because high availability requires synchronous communication. Okay? This is DR, so we expect asynchronous communication between the two sides. Why you may need to set up a DR between on-premises and SQL Azure? I'm sorry, Windows Azure. This is in case where you have some, your on-premise SQL server can become unavailable. For example, there is a gateway problem, which is kind of temporary, can be more permanent. I remember I was in Malaysia working with Western Digital when we had flooding, when we hit like a couple meters of water over there and the whole manufacturing stopped and we were around, you know, going with SQL servers like that, you know. So we had DR though, we had a DR in Singapore, so we were able to recover somehow. This disaster recovery site as well is expensive. If you are in a company and you try to replicate your data center in another site, maintaining that, having that is an expensive proposition. You have to set up hardware, licensing, all this stuff becomes a big factor. So all, and operations as well. So having all this stuff in Azure allows you better economies of scale, you may say. So I'm not saying do only your DR in Azure, although you could, but at least consider putting some part of your DR in Azure as a third DR in a way and see how that works for you. So this is a scenario we see a few companies doing. They can do on-premises high availability. This is the high availability using always on again, always on to a local replica. And then remotely in Windows Azure, they do disaster recovery by using asynchronous mode. So on-premises, we can have one or more secondary replicas. Today, we support a total of, how many replicas we support today? Who said four? No, you said that already. There you are. So I'll give you the other robe. So I'm done with my robes. How many were we going to support in SQL 14? 16? Who told you 16? Can't tell me. As far as I know, we're going to support 8. Still one automatic failover pair, but there'll be much more readables available. Did we say 16? All right, I need to check. I thought it was for 8. when you create your replica, be careful also, or you have the option to choose a particular region where you're going to host that. As you saw in my scenario, I chose Singapore, but you can choose any of them. All the regions we have in the world, except China, is available to you from here to choose and create a VM or a replica of your database, right? So you heard already in about a year or so, or I don't know how many months, but we are working very hard to finalize the data centers in Australia. So those are already in buildings and containers pulled in and plugged in and all that. So that will come soon, so you have at least this opportunity to use Australia data centers as a DR option. So technologies we're supporting, availability group works just fine. You can have always on between on-premises and Azure VMs. We say we do support that from the box, synchronous mode. We don't prevent you of using synchronous mode, but I would expect the latencies will get pretty severe for your application. So we definitely encourage you to use, you can test it if you like, but I expect you to use asynchronous mode to achieve these levels of communications. Database mirroring is supported as well. We've seen people using log shipping. Log shipping is simple. It's been there since SQL 7, maybe. small bandwidth works well, easy to use, so that's another option to use as well when you have that. But when you're setting up this one, we will need to make those two servers, the one on Azure and on-premises, as we said, the requirement, they must be in the same domain, right? So even if you create a domain on Azure, on the virtual network where your VM is, that domain will need to join, will need to be trusted by your corporate on-premises Active Directory. So you can do two things. You can create your own Active Directory, then you create a trust, or you can federate your corporate, you can have kind of a federated view of your Active Directory, and then it includes, it kind of absorbs that virtual network on Azure as an extension of your data center. And to do that, we will need, of course, VPN connectivity. So this is some scenarios over here on how we can set up VPN. Has anybody set up VPN in Azure? You did? Side to side?
All
right. Oh, okay. But side to side? Okay, cool. So this is a little easier. He used Windows 2012, which is great. You can use that to test it and configure it. When you try to set up like Cisco's and Junipers and F5s and WatchGuards, that's a little more scary stuff. I mean, so we do have some scripts published in our site. You're supposed to run those scripts to configure the ports, configure all the settings within those. So we have tested it to ensure the handshake and the communications of those hardware devices to our gateway devices is done properly and is quite nicely and working well, right? So get some good guy that knows VPNs and networking well. It's not difficult, but it's not black and white, potentially. So I want to show you in the next slide how we visualize that to see a little the flow. So if you see on the left, can you hear me? Okay. We have the on-premises. This is my CorpNet. In my case, it's Redmond, the CorpNet. So I have a server, and it has a primary, and then there is a local secondary, synchronous. And then through the VPN device, then you'll have a VPN tunnel, and here's my replica over there. I don't have in Azure, as you see, another Active Directory. Because I'm connecting via VPN trusted link, the Active Directory considers Azure VM as another local machine. It's registering in the Active Directory. It's another machine, DNS names, all this good stuff, right? So consider VPN when you want to set up on-premises to Azure DR. That is the one that is going to open the gateways for you guys. Now, across DRs is a little more, across data centers, I'm sorry, it's a little more tricky because we don't have, as I said, virtual networks options across data centers. This is going to be fixed soon, but not as soon as we like. Why we want to use DR across data centers? Listen, when you create a VM, you can mount up to 16 drives over there. Something for the VM. The VM comes with a C drive and a D drive out of the box when you create a VM. The C drive is the OS, the D drive is a temporary disk. Do not put anything valuable there, right? D drives come and go. So people thought D drive is fast, and it is fast for some reason, much faster than the C. So what they put over there right away? Log, right? And then next morning, C, D drive is gone. Where's my log? So don't put anything there. So you're getting a C and a D, but then you can mount drives. You create a new drive that comes from the storage, and you can have up to 16 drives of 1 terabyte each in the VM. So you can have up to 16 terabytes total disk space. It's not anymore the 150 gigabytes we had with SQL Azure. Here you can have up to 16 terabytes database, and because it's SQL, you can do compression, you can do all this exciting stuff. So your database in a VM can be really an enterprise, big, large database, right? We don't have, we have RAIDs, we have things like that, but you don't have access to that. So I would suggest if you create a big database in a VM, create multiple disks and use the SQL striping, create multiple files, one file per drive, and put them all in one file group. So that's a good striping technique across. But all this stuff is on a storage level, which we geo-replicate. So if your VM, if the data center, we're talking data center level now, if the data center shuts down and the other data center wakes up and we recover GeoDR, and if you have 16 files, there's no guarantee those 16 files will recover in the sequence you like, or all 16 drives will be synced 100% at the same time. Maybe these three are caught up, these are 2 minutes behind, this is 1 minute behind, you know, this is a DR. There is an SLA, the storage is synced within 5 minutes across data centers, but if you time it there wrongly, some of your data files may be obsolete, per se. So you still need to take some coverage across data centers to make sure you don't have these issues. So what do we have available? So this is the picture. I have a data center, well, being in USA. One would be Chicago. The other would be in West USA, in San Francisco. How do we go across and we do that? So we don't have always on yet, I said. Keep an eye on that when we allow virtual network across data centers. Always on will light up. For now, the only things you can do is database mirroring, or you can do backup to URL. Have you ever tried that in SQL 2012? Do you know about that feature? You do? You already have a robe. So in SQL, okay, it's a long one. SQL 2012 SP1 CU2. Okay? The latest cumulative update, anyhow, in SQL 2012, we enabled backup directly to storage from your on-premise. So you don't need VPNs, you don't need any of this crazy stuff, you just need a URL with a particular key of your storage, and not even on the disk, it backs up directly on Azure storage. I hope some lights start blinking over here. Like, wow. So if I need to send my database from New Zealand to Australia, for example, I can back it up to storage and they can connect there and they restore it from there. Yes. Yes. All this stuff is very nicely. Storage is very cheap. The cheapest thing you can find. I have like 10 terabytes under my account and I get, I don't know, $5-6 bill a month. So, you know, a Trimblatt FATE or whatever covers that. Large. So consider that, please, backup to URL, because you are on a VM, I can do a backup to the storage on the other data center, of course. So I can create a storage account on the other data center, backup over there, and my backup is cold, it's not even live, so I don't have even to pay for VM, for SQL Enterprise, whatever, but I have a live backup. Every 10 minutes I can backup and have my data there. It's a very exciting feature to have. So we don't support availability groups yet. We will. So we kill that to death over here. Database mirroring. I'm bringing up database mirroring. Database mirroring, you can set it up between the two systems by using certificates. You don't need to have Active Directory. By using certificate authentication, those two sites can connect and you can establish mirroring just fine. Quick, some customer deployments. And I know we're running, as usually, close out of time. This is an online travel company. They wanted to set up high availability. So what they did on site, they have a Windows Server failover cluster and availability group. So here's the primary, here's the secondary. And they're extending it out to Azure, and they have over there the other secondary for very high availability. What kind of system they're running, these guys? They have one data center on premises, no DR site, so they're leveraging Azure as that. They're running about, they have 700,000 passengers they're managing, 10 brands, 9 countries. This is the project I worked on, Toyota. Funny company profile, and nobody knows Toyota. So these guys, everybody that buys Toyota, they can go to a social site, it's called gazoo.com, and socialize and say how great is my Camry and Vios and blah, blah, blah. SharePoint running over there, SharePoint 2013. Of course, SQL is there as well. We have a cluster of those running. And we have, so these are the databases of SQL, of SharePoint 2013 that we have to secure. We have primary and secondary there. So we're still on a single data center, we're doing always on. And then when we extend soon across data centers, we're going to go and do that there as well. Blinkbox, it's on-demand movie, it's on UK. So they have a lot of VMs, they rendering movies down to customers, 10,000 hours of movies or something like that. So similar topology, as you see, the theme maintains have, but they went the other way around. You see primary, secondary is on Azure, and the DR is on premises. So they're saying if Azure has a problem, I'll switch on premises, but otherwise, I stay in Azure. So you can do that. You can go. You can assume as Azure is your primary and on premises is the secondary. Kind of radical, but there you are. Man is not a problem. So similar scenario over here. So my last slide, because it's 5:30, maybe the guy showed you before. So if they did show you, they stole my thunder, but that's okay. It's not really a thunder. It's a little... So in SQL Server 2014 CTP2, when we published that and when you get in your hands, the idea is we put it in a UI, how to add the Azure replica. So we have in the middle over here, when you're adding replicas, you can say in the middle of the screen, it says add Azure replica, simple as that. So the same thing, you add today a replica by pointing to a server, blah, blah, blah. You can connect to a VM. You give the VM credentials and everything, and that thing is going to generate backup, restore, establish the connections, take care of all this stuff. It's quite nice, straight out of UI. You can script, of course, all this stuff up. So SQL 2014 has that. SQL 2014 SSMS as well in the Management Studio has, when you do tasks, backup, restore, it has the option to do it on a storage as well. In SQL 2012, you have to type the command. I don't think we have exposed it in Management Studio yet, but in 2014, we have it. So 2014 is around the corner as well. Some resources for you guys when you go and you start thinking about how to set it up together. I included some good white papers over here for you for HADR and IIS especially. It's not to know SQL. It's mostly to know IIS, VPN, storage, all these components, how they're getting together, and they may affect you. Active Directory as well. It's really in the game as well over here. So that's all I had. In the hour, I have much more, but I had to hide like 20 slides over here. Like best practices, where you put your TempDB, your log, but I think you cover some of that tomorrow, is all right? So my friend over here is going to talk tomorrow. Raise your hand. There you are. That's my friend. He's going to talk tomorrow for best practices, where you place files, where you should put your log, your TempDB, your files, all right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. So that's all I have for today. My last slide is fill up your evaluation. Have a good night. Thank you very much.